Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in our gospel reading that the dead are raised, even Moses showed, in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. This is our text. Is there a resurrection of the dead? By resurrection of the dead, think bodies. Think bodies brought back to life, bodies standing on their feet. Bodies with fingerprints and funny bones and freckles in the life of the world to come. When we're talking about resurrection, it's not the same thing as the immortality of the soul. Death separates the soul from the body. It tears apart what God joined together when he first made Adam in the beginning and breathed life into his body. Resurrection is the soul reunited with the body, now alive and imperishable forever. So is there a resurrection? Well, Jesus says that there is. He teaches the resurrection of the body, and he even stakes his life on that teaching. Twice in St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus does this. Just before his transfiguration, he says that he's going to be killed, he'll die, but on the third day, be raised. And then again, right before Palm Sunday, the last week of his life, he says, after flogging the Son of Man, they'll kill him, and on the third day, he'll rise. For Jesus, the resurrection of the body is obviously not just an academic matter. It is a practical matter, and for him, it was utterly time-sensitive. Because what we hear in today's gospel reading comes only days before his crucifixion. Whether there is a resurrection of the dead for Jesus was not just a matter of something way off in the future. It was a matter of that very week. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus is not risen, and he has no authority. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then we can't trust what he says, and we certainly can't stake our lives on him. And yet, while some might call us stupid, and others would say that we're misguided, and still others would think that we're just hopelessly naive, with Jesus, we believe in the bodily resurrection. And back in Jesus' day, many others did too, but not everyone. There were the Sadducees. They're the ones who approached Jesus in today's gospel reading. The Sadducees thought that resurrection was absurd and impossible. You might call them the theological liberals of that day. They were connected to the temple. They belonged to the mainline religious establishment with its wealth and its power. Their Bible only consisted of the first five books. They rejected angels and other supernatural things, and they said that there is no resurrection. Now, this takes place during Holy Week. Jesus was teaching and preaching in Jerusalem. He was on their turf, on their ground, so they wanted to shut him down. They must have heard what he was saying, something about resurrection. So some of them came to Jesus and asked him a rather complicated question related to the law of Moses. They presented him with a case study that had to do with what's called the Levirate Law. And if you can follow with me for just a minute, this is a law from the Old Testament that required a man to marry his dead brother's wife if they had been childless. So my brother dies and his wife has no children, and I am to marry his wife to raise up offspring for him. That's the law they have in mind when they bring this scenario to Jesus. And this case they put before him is going to show to Jesus and to everyone else just how ridiculous resurrection talk is. So they tell their story. There's a man who has a wife, and he dies, and they're childless. So his brother takes the wife. And as it turns out, this one bride is for seven brothers who all died childless. And then the woman died. So Jesus, in the resurrection, if there is such a thing, just whose wife will this woman be? Brother number one, or brother number two, or all seven had her as wife? In other words, you can tell that they think they just gave Jesus a good gut punch. Take that. Resurrection, ridiculous. QED. You're just blowing smoke. You don't have any idea what you're talking about, Jesus. Hey, take your ball and head home to Galilee. Leave the real theology to us big boys. Makes me wonder, though, because they deny the resurrection, what are they left with? What is it that those Sadducees would think lasts beyond a person's life? What value does a life have if it ends at death? Or at least, what value does a person's body and life in the body have? Does a man continue on through his work as people remember what he did and make use of the things that he gave to society? Or does his legacy go on in the material goods that he leaves behind, in the possessions and the property and the wealth that he hands on to those who will inherit from him? Or does a man continue in his family, those whom he fathered, his descendants, the people who have his looks and his name and his mannerisms? Now, the Bible has a huge interest in genealogies and family lines, as you know if you've ever tried to read it cover to cover. What matters in those genealogies, what matters in those family lines, is the line of promise. The seed of the woman. The one who was coming, who would take away the curse of sin and death. But if there is no resurrection, then it seems to me that for those Sadducees, things can only go one of two ways. Either the things of this life, the things that we do in the body here and now, take on ultimate value, or you're left with utter nihilism, left with the things of this body and this life not mattering at all. Now, the Sadducees aren't around anymore. You won't meet any of them out on the street, but others have taken their place, and others deny the resurrection. And it's still thought by many to be ridiculous, to be pie in the sky, to be against everything that nature and science reveal. And what that leaves us with is a world in which everything is ultimate. A world in which a person's worth and legacy is determined, must be determined, by their work or by their wealth or by their relationships. Why else would we be so wrapped up in making a name for ourselves here? Or why would we be so wrapped up in building wealth and accumulating things here? Or why else would we measure our lives by the strength and the depth of our relationships here? Or you can think of it this way. Why do so many parents try to live on through their children, as if the earthly success of their children is of lasting worth? As if we think that this life is all that matters. As if here and now is everything, even while we treat the body, our bodies, as if they don't matter. So here's my exhortation to you today. Stop putting eternal value on the things of this life. See things from the perspective of the resurrection. See them for what they really are. Life in the body here is not ultimate. And yet our bodies do matter. Now, we aren't the Sadducees by what we confess. We just confessed in the Nicene Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But I wonder if it's not often the case that we act like functional Sadducees. The way we live or the way we speak seems to suggest that we believe this life and what we do in the body here is what ultimately matters. So we confess the resurrection of the dead with our mouths and the life of the world to come, but we live as if there is no resurrection or life after death. Or you can think of it this way. We act like all of our eggs are in the no resurrection basket, when they really all belong in that Easter basket with Jesus risen from the dead. Now, when it comes to things of this life and this body, let's take one example, the one that Jesus and the Sadducees are dealing with. Take marriage. Jesus said, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." What Jesus means is that marriage is a short-term ministry between two dying sinners who are made to live forever. We were made for more, but marriage is made for this life only. It's not for the age to come. And this teaching means a couple of things. It means that, for one thing, if you're childless, if you have no children, you haven't been robbed of a future. It means that if you're single, you're not going to miss out on anything in the life of the world to come. In fact, St. Paul says that you're not even missing out on something here. He describes singleness here as a special calling. You who remain single, remain free to serve the Lord wholeheartedly and to love your neighbors in a unique way. Not that being single is easy, because nothing is easy for us sinners in this fallen world. But you were made for more, far more, in this fallen world. And when I say you, I mean not just you, your soul, but your body as well were made for more. You have a dignity and a worth because God made you. And he made you in your body to attain to that age and to the resurrection of the dead. He made you not to die anymore. And in this way, to be equal to angels who are immortal, but in your case, still to come with a body that is also imperishable and immortal. We aren't sons of this age, but we are sons of God. We aren't only sons of this age, but we are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. And for this reason, our bodies deserve respect and honor. And yet we also must recognize that what we do in the body here is not ultimate or the end. And I know we want to know what it's going to be like. I'd say if there's one question as pastor I get more than anything else about the life of the world to come, it's this: what is it going to be like? And I can't tell you a lot, but I can tell you a few things. It won't just be a repetition of this world. Amen. That would be ridiculous. The resurrection is different because it's a world without death. This world that we live in is a world with death, but that world, the world of the resurrection, is a world without death. People don't marry. Laws about preserving life or preserving one's name aren't needed because no one will die. Trying to understand what that is like is like thinking you know what Mount Everest is because you've seen Mount Monadnock. And I don't mean that to diss Mount Monadnock. If you've ever hiked it, that's its own challenge. There's, of course, a similarity between the two, but they're not the same. Or it's like trying to describe a rainbow to someone who's blind, or three dimensions to that two-dimensional stick figure. That's what the resurrection is like compared to this life. We try to compare it to what we know, but we have no idea what life without death is really like. But God knows. Now, we ought to ask the question, and the Sadducees would have been asking this as well: how can Jesus be so sure that there is a resurrection of the dead? As he's carrying that cross and the splinters are going into his back, as the nails are driven into his hands, how can he be confident in his own resurrection on the third day? Well, Jesus turns to Scripture. He turns back to Genesis, or Exodus. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now notice, the Lord didn't say, "I was the God of Abraham," as if Abraham were no more, but "I am," meaning that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still are two. The fathers of old, seen from God's perspective, they are seen from God's perspective, for he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Ultimately, he sees and knows them as they are in their resurrected bodies. And it was because of this truth in God and because of their confidence in the resurrection that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave directions about their own bodies when they would die. They all directed their descendants to bury them. It's good for us to do the same. For us Christians, the burial of the body is what most clearly confesses what we believe. Not that God can't raise someone who's lost at sea or who's cremated. Obviously, God can raise a body out of dust. He did it in the beginning. But when we lay a body in the ground, we are confessing that our God will raise that body on the last day. Now, we know that eternal life is a gift of God, and we know that this life comes to us in Christ. And that's what he was offering to the Sadducees that day, and it's what he offers you today. From their ridiculous argument, from our practical denials of the resurrection, Jesus leads us to something sublime. God is a God of resurrection and life. He gave laws through Moses to preserve life in this world, but he gave a promise to Moses about life in another world, a world without end. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive, and they are alive in God, and their bodies will be raised on that last day. That's the promise that Moses heard at the burning bush. So today Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'll give you life. Follow me, and I will raise your body from the dead on the last day in a life that never ends." And I know it sounds absurd, and I know that it looks absurd when Jesus hangs there on the cross. But you and I both know that he didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead. He went from the ridiculous to the sublime. He defeated death, and now he gives life to all who trust in him. So that eternal life and the promise of the resurrection belongs to you. There is a resurrection from the dead, and those who believe in him, we who believe in him, will be raised to life on the last day. And he knows what he's talking about. Your faith is not in vain. So today we gather in the confidence that Christ has been raised from the dead, in the confidence that he has put on the imperishable and the immortal body, that body with which he walked to the road on Emmaus, with which he talked to the disciples, that body that ate fish and that was seen and touched even after he died. We have been buried with Christ in baptism, and now we walk in the newness of life that leads on the way of the resurrection. And we here at the Holy Communion receive the medicine of immortality, the living body and blood of our Lord. So yes, with Jesus, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.